239-1310. 239-1310. This afternoon's name is Congressman Andre Carson. You know, is concerned about anything that negative that happens in this community in the 7th Congressional District. He's on our live line. Congressman, how you doing?
Dr. Brown, it's good hearing from you. Under unfortunate circumstances, we're leaving 16th and Harding Street right now at a labor event. But I can tell you, as you know, Dr. Brown, Indianapolis has a serious violent crime problem. It's senseless. It's tragic. We have to come together and do something about it. There are a lot of great non-for-profits and NGOs who are doing the work. There are a lot of great churches, 10-Point Coalition, great pastors that are doing this kind of ministry. Law enforcement officers are putting their lives on the line each and every day. But it's clear that something is awry because we're not reaching the core of the issue. Yes, there are systemic issues. Yes, there are institutional issues. Yes, there are components that date back decades and centuries even. But as we speak, there's a serious issue, Amos, as it relates to the drug cartels that have growing influence in our communities. And I'm seeing a spirit of growing disrespect for culture, for adults. And we have to stand up, Amos, as responsible citizens and say enough is enough.
Let me ask a couple of questions, because I was stunned that Indiana law regulates the use of handguns. You got to have a permit, but you don't need a permit for a rifle, and you definitely don't need a permit for an automatic weapon, not a semi-automatic weapon, an AK-47. Type weapon. And then my good friends at the Indiana State Police, I asked them about that, and they gave me the rules and regulations. And then they also talked about the National Instant Criminal Background Check that I know you're familiar with. And when I looked over those regulations, it says a potential, an unlawful, the federal can prohibit you from buying a weapon if you're an unlawful user and or an addict of any controlled substance. For example, a person convicted for the use or possession of a controlled substance within the past year. Mr. Davis, the alleged murderer of Officer Wren, he was convicted in 08. So based on the regulations, he could have legitimately bought that assault weapon. So two questions. First of all, Congressman, how important is it that the men and women of law enforcement work with ATF, work with the FBI, that we get a trace on the entire history of that weapon from the time it's in, from when it was in the factory to who had it last?
I think it's a priority. You know, President Clinton, and you remember this, yeah, he had a huge movement on this assault rifles ban. Even now, as we're moving forward, I don't think that anyone should own an assault rifle with the exception of law enforcement personnel and the U.S. military. If we work together collaboratively, and agencies have to do this, it shouldn't take another death for agencies locally and federally to work together to trace the source of these dangerous weapons. But even more so than that, Dr. Brown, I think it's critically important that we act swiftly on the savage, barbaric, uncivilized, animalistic behavior that we're dealing with. Our children are in need of us right now, our young boys and our young girls. And even while we reach out to them and nurture and mentor them, we tried to do this with the summer jobs initiative we had a few weeks ago. We're going to do it again with the jobs fair. We're going to do it again with working with not-for-profits. But there's another segment in our society, Amos. Some say they're irredeemable. I saw some hateful online comments this weekend. Folks were suggesting that Broad Ripple and places like Broad Ripple were better places in the 50s and 60s, sweeping all minorities into a vacuum, into a silo, when there are few bad actors. And we have to deal with these bad actors, Amos. These folks who make it uncomfortable for you and me to go to the gas station, make it uncomfortable for other folks to go to the theaters without there being disruption. We have to be firm dealing with these individuals who are misrepresenting the black community. I'm going to be honest. They're giving the black community a bad name. We just celebrated 50 years of the Voting Rights Act, where many died to have the right to vote, to have us into society as respectable human beings. And to have a few bad actors who are reaffirming dangerous stereotypes about our community, who are encouraging mythologies, and who are disrespectful, it has to stop. It absolutely has to stop. We cannot make excuses for this savagery anymore.
Is it then time, Congressman, you might be the only one in this city that could call a meeting and everybody would show up. Is it time then for you to call the meeting?
I've said this repeatedly. I want to call a meeting. I'm open to calling a meeting. But the meeting that I would like to call, certainly with leaders, but I want to call a meeting. I want to call a meeting with those folks who are considered to be outcasts. I want to call a meeting with those who have a connection and who have a credibility and who are linked to these issues and who have the credibility to address these issues in a meaningful way and cause them to stop. I sat at a meeting with a group of some of our prominent pastors and faith leaders and city officials. I think you were there. You were there a few weeks ago, that perhaps we need to talk to the drug cartels themselves because we have a huge criminal problem. There are great organizations out there. There are great pastors and ministries and imams and rabbis who are doing great work. But Dr. Brown, we have to do something about this savage element. And I say that liberally, savage, barbaric element that must be confronted with force. We cannot be in fear. We can't be in fear of going down the Monon. We can't be in fear of going to the gas station. We should not be in fear in taking our spouse or our loved one out to dinner or even going to a club because we're afraid somebody's going to shoot up the club. This should have stopped in the 80s and the 90s when I was going to the club. Mm-hmm. But it's still there, Amos, and we have a serious issue that must be addressed. I'm willing to call a meeting. I think I talked to Pastor Hampton at Light of the World earlier today. He's doing a phenomenal job, and the 10-Point Coalition, Reverend Charles, they're doing a great job. A lot of ministries out there are doing it. Pastor Jeffrey Johnson and others are doing a phenomenal job. But we have to get to the root of the problem, Dr. Brown. And, you know, it disappoints me when someone decides to shoot someone. The first thing people say is, well, where are the black leaders? Where are the pastors? As if those leaders and pastors caused that person to do harm to innocent human beings. We have to deal with the barbaric behavior. It's unacceptable. I'd be open to calling a meeting not only with our faith community and not only with our interfaith community, Christians and Muslims and Jews from all across the spectrum, but from some of our young gang leaders, from some of our leaders who are still involved in the criminal element, and sit down with them in a closed door session. I don't even need a camera there, but in a closed door session and say enough is enough.
All right. I appreciate it, my brother. Thank you, Congressman Andre Carson. I appreciate it.